The Guardian.
Confederations Cup Football Daily. Today asking, what's the difference between Shakira and Spain? Spain don't blow their piques. And Las Furias Rojas, with a successful set of spot kicks, are through to Sunday's Game of Destiny, the Confederations Cup final against host nation Brazil. We look forward to that and more in this Confederations Cup Football Daily. Joining us in the penultimate show, indeed, of this very, very special Confederations Cup Football Daily, etc. thing, is once again James Horncastle and Paul Doyle, basically exactly the same people who were sat here yesterday. How are you both?
That's how good it was yesterday.
Yeah.
We haven't left the building.
No. Well, it does feel like we've been here for a very long time, because that Spain-Italy went on for hours and hours and hours.
It did, yeah. It was a strangely gripping 0-0 draw. In fact, it was the last 0-0 draw that gave such excitement that I can remember, or one actually that I choose at random, was Ivory Coast Ghana in the 1992 African Nations Cup final. And for a moment, I thought that the penalty shootouts were going to be similarly epic. That one ended 12-11, I think.
Wow.
Both goalkeepers even scored, if I recall correctly. And right up until Bonucci ballooned Italy's last penalty over the bar, all of them had been absolutely exquisite penalty kicks.
Mm. It was absolutely terrific theatre, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just thought, you know, there were various stages of the game where, you know, one team was obviously evidently on top.
Mm.
And before the game, Prandelli had been saying how, you know, everyone remembers the 4-0 thrashing in the final. What they forget is they put Spain in great difficulty. They're probably the team that has put Spain in the most difficulty in recent years. Mm. They beat them in a friendly, and they drew against them in the group stages. And you saw when they played this system today, similar to the one they played in the group stages, they were able to cause them problems. I mean, if they just had a
Balotelli.
Well, I think Gilardino did a relatively good job tonight.
Do you think? But he did a job, but it wasn't the job they needed.
Well, it wasn't him who missed all the chances.
That's true.
The job he did was lots of very good movement and running, creating space for Giaccherini and Maggio to come in off the flanks and miss chances, unfortunately.
Fair enough. It's a fair point you make. But do you feel that maybe Balotelli might have made you obviously don't feel that.
Well, a penalty
I felt
shootout.
That Balotelli especially.
I think if he'd scored it, if he'd been a penalty, it would have been his 20th consecutive penalty he would have scored.
Right.
But you're right, because Balotelli could have done all those things that Gilardino did as well, of course, because he's just a great player.
He certainly is. Having said that, and Italy certainly massively dominant in the first half, a little bit less in the, well, much less perhaps in the second half, and then in extra time it looked like Spain. A fair result in the end, Paul, therefore?
Yeah, you can't deny it. They were better after Del Bosque finally changed things. I thought he was quite slow to change things. But the strength and depth that we all know Spain have is just awesome. Their changes influenced the game much more than Italy's did. Italy's changes weakened them. I'm assuming Barzagli's replacement at half-time, which forced De Rossi back into defence, was enforced through injury.
Mm.
Because it definitely...
Well, that's what I read in your minute-by-minute, I think. So,
did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember writing that.
Finishing aside, Italy's best performance of this tournament and Spain's worst all in all?
Yeah, until towards the end of full time and extra time, where they really were dominant. How do they have so much more stamina than everyone else in extra time?
Is that a loaded question, Paul?
We're going to move swiftly on. Well, I think a lot of people were saying in half time, full time analysis how Spain lacked intensity, didn't they? They weren't pressing with the same sort of vigour as they did. And then come extra time, it was clear that Italy, several players were cramping up, and Spain seemed to come more into it, didn't they? Where they do find it from, I don't know.
Yeah, extraordinary. And of course, there's this great strength in depth, all the players there, with bringing on Mata, for example, when Italy were turning to Aquilani. It's hardly like for like.
And Javi Martinez, who can just do a job anywhere, you know, in terms of. I think he played in defence for Athletic Bilbao, played midfield for Bayern, and plays up front for Spain now. It's an incredible player, really.
Well, Spain roundly booed during the game by the crowd in Fortaleza there. So find out why that might be. Let's now hear from one of our top team there in Brazil, Jack Lang of the top website Snap Kaká Pop. Jack, are you there?
No? Hi, James.
Hey.
Yeah,
Excellent. Did you enjoy the game?
I did, yeah. I think it was one of the better nil-nils I've seen for a while. Quite exciting. I think probably the result was one that most Brazilians at least were looking for in the end.
They were, because a lot of the crowd in the stadium, I was just saying, were booing the Spanish at every opportunity. Why is that?
I think it's got something to do with the style of play. I think the crowd in Brazil is not known for its patience. So when players like Piqué and Ramos are knocking it around at the back to kind of to draw the sting from the opposition, the Brazilian crowd, I think, sees that as kind of a lack of courage to go forward, almost as if it's a form of cheating, really, that they're just kind of trying to draw the other team out and really not going forward all the time. That, of course, works in Brazil matches as well. So Brazil are often put under a lot of pressure to be attacking all the time. So I think that's something to do. Another thing, probably just the crowd wants to get behind the underdog, which was Italy today.
Mm. But you were saying this is the final against Spain that they wanted because this is the biggest test.
There was a poll today in the Brazilian sports paper Lance, and 86% of people actually wanted to get Spain in the final. I think not. That's probably because people realise that winning this tournament is probably less important than just testing the Brazilian side against some of the world's best teams. I think a lot of people are really excited to see how this Brazil side measures up against the world's best side. A few weeks ago, I think a lot of people would have been fearful of a hiding in that match. But given the upturn in performances for the Seleção, I think there could be a real game there to be played, especially if Spain will be so tired after tonight.
Mm. Is it a bit unpolitically correct in Brazil to actually give a damn about the final, the way that the whole kind of protest movement has grown in parallel to the tournament and completely overshadowed it in some ways?
To some extent, yeah. I think obviously the football has taken a real backseat in the last couple of weeks. But from what I've seen, speaking to people, I mean, people don't really seem to be holding a grudge towards those that are still interested in the football. I think the fans and the players are kind of absolved of responsibility, really. It's not them that have decided to spend all this money that could have been spent elsewhere.
Mm.
So I think by the time the final comes around, there's going to be a real sense of excitement, as I'm sure there would be for any time Brazil are in a final, be it a major tournament or otherwise.
Sure. And are they optimistic?
I think after today's game, I think they'll be confident of at least giving Spain a decent match. The heat, obviously, in Fortaleza there was insane, and real humidity as well. So there's a chance that Spain are going to be tired after that. Brazil, obviously, will have an extra day's rest as well, which will play into their hands. The Maracanã will be packed. I think if you'd have offered, a final match against Spain to a Brazilian a few weeks ago, they'd have been looking to just avoid a hiding. But now, I think probably Spain are still favourites, but there's a feeling that Brazil can give them a match, at least maybe push them to a close game.
Hi, Jack, it's Paul Doyle here. Just one question about Scolari, because one of the criticisms of him is that he's too conservative and just never changes his tactics. Do you think he will do anything different to address the specific challenges that Spain posed, the way Prandelli did tonight, for example?
I can't see him reshuffling in terms of personnel. I mean, probably the player that would be most likely to drop out based on performances so far is actually a player who's probably been one of Brazil's better players over a 12-month period, which is Oscar. I think he was really, really probably his worst performance I can remember him having in a Brazil shirt in the semi-final. Didn't really find any spaces to create anything. Didn't have much of an influence in the front third. And he was a long way from Brazil's other central midfielders. So a change that I think, if any change is going to be made, I think it would likely to be maybe Hernandez coming in. As for the others, I don't think Lucas or Bernard are really ready to be starting in a final yet. So I think Scolari will keep faith with Hulky on the wing. Other than that, I think the team really picks itself. I think Scolari is a guy who, we saw this with Fred the other day, Scolari is a manager who really keeps faith with the players he picks. He said about Fred that before the game in which Fred scored two goals against Italy, he said to Fred before the match that you're going to play 90 minutes, whatever happens. I'm only going to substitute you off if you're badly injured. And he said afterwards that he just always expected Fred to repay that faith. And that's kind of what this kind of Scolari family is based upon the faith that he really has in the players that he picks. So as far as the tactics against Spain go, I think he'll be looking for a much better performance than Brazil turned in the semi-final, but I'm sure the tactics and the personnel won't change too much.
Jack Lang very much in Brazil. It's interesting, Scolari and Del Bosque, they actually look quite similar for me. Scolari is a little younger, more macho version, but they could definitely be related, you know.
Could be a tash off.
Could be a tash off, yeah. That'd be good. What do you think about the final, James?
I think Spain might be Maracanacked come that time. I fear a little bit for Brazil because I think, yeah, okay, don't take this competition too seriously. Think of it as a test. But you know how people kind of load a narrative onto things and say, look, they've lost heavily. If they lose heavily to Spain, you know, it might become something in the back of their mind. It might be used, you know, if they get into the competition, use it as something, some kind of revenge. Or if they win, you know, it might make expectations go sky high in terms of going into the World Cup.
Yeah, it's also true.
I hope Spain play Navas. It'd be interesting to see him against Marcelo. Mm. There's lots of space to exploit there.
Wow, you wouldn't need much patience to watch that going on, would you? Very, very pacey and direct. Yesterday we were continuing our theme of bumping into players away from the football field. I completely forgot to talk about the time that I was trying on some menswear in a menswear store in London, and in the little booth next to me was Hidetoshi Nakata.
Oh,
yeah.
Hipster.
Did
you strike up a conversation about menswear?
No, he had an entourage with him. Yeah. Oh, sorry, James, you were...
No, I was tweeting about Nakata and because I was writing about him, and I was looking for interviews. The interviews he gave was for Mr. Porter, you know, the sort of exclusive menswear website.
Oh, there you go.
Clothing website. He seems to have... you know, I think he's got some various fashion lines, and he travels around Japan. Well, travels around the world, but apparently he's tried to travel around every prefecture of Japan to get, you know, just soak up sort of stylistic influences.
Right.
But
cool.
He's a
commitment.
Great player. A great player. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we loved a bit of Nakata. And quite exciting that we don't be right in calling him his modern-day counterpart, Shinsuke Honda. No? It might be going to Milan?
I think Honda's closer to him than Kagawa is. Right. Just because I always think Nakata was such a great passer of the ball. Someone who often used to just lob balls into space. And I think Honda does that really well. But yeah.
Yeah.
Hidetoshi Nakata.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, that was mine. Anything. Here's Hedley Jackson with I Sold Petr Cech's Christmas Tree in 2008. He loved it. Brilliant. Hard to see anyone beating that, although here's David DeLarge with Jose Mourinho. He spotted Jose Mourinho carefully examining bottles of shampoo in a Boots in Victoria, London. Anyway, and then there's also the blank Yank, who says he was sitting at the Dubliner in Dubai. I've not been there. It must be a bar, I guess. Wearing my Celtic shirt. A man sits down next to me, and we talk Celtic for about 30 minutes. After he leaves, the bartender informs me that was the late, great Celtic legend Joe McBride. I had no clue. I presume this is before... Joe McBride became the late, great Celtic legend. Otherwise...
Haunting.
One-sided conversation.
Yeah. That's... Wow, that would make a great film, wouldn't it?
Celtic legend ghost in Dubai.
Yeah. That is a... You know, that is an interesting film. Anyway, that's it. That's it. We've been up very late to watch... it was a real treat, but that is it for today's Confederations Cup Football Daily. But we are going to be back. James, you're going to be back on Sunday as well. We're going to be even later. Not quite sure why the Sunday game, on a school night effectively, is kicking off quite so late when there was the perfectly good earlier time slot available. But
have to go to Mass.
Oh, maybe that's why, yeah. Yeah, fair point. Anyway, you'll be there. Paul, I think you you won't be. And you're very welcome to come in if you want. But
if I'm in the area.
Yeah. Listeners, if you wish to be part of it, then that'll be up for your listening pleasure sometime on Sunday night. Fresh and a piping hot from the kitchen.
Early Monday morning.
Yeah. The game doesn't finish till 1 a.m., producer Ben points out. So we're looking at Monday morning, as you say, James. although in America, in the West Coast of America, perhaps, they will still be enjoying their Sunday when we roll off
the production line, the last Confederation Cup Football Daily of this particular series. Anyway, many thanks to Paul Dorr for joining us this evening, and James Horncastle and producer Ben, and you listeners. We'll be back, as I say, at the end of the week.
CCFD with AC Jimbo. Worth.